Let's open up to Exodus chapter number 10 and continue our study of the 10 plagues. So far, we have seen the blood, where the Nile water was turned to blood, the frogs, the lice, or the gnats, as most of our English Bibles, I think, say, the flies, the biting flies, the cattle dying, the boils that broke out on the people, and most recently, the huge thunder, lightning, rain, and massive hailstorm. And that has ruined a lot of the crop that was about to be harvested. Now, chapter 10, we continue. Then he who is said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your sons and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am he who is." So here is God saying, all right, Pharaoh was about to give in, even though he really doesn't want to do so. And if he can come up with a way not to, he would. But I'm going to harden his heart a little bit longer so that I can demonstrate the truth that there is no God but myself. All the other gods and goddesses of Egypt are frauds. They are fakes. They are phonies. We would understand that they are kind of being presented by the deception of the fallen angels, who are God wannabes. And so God is demonstrating they have no power when compared to his. And now Moses and Aaron did what God said. They went into Pharaoh and they said to him, "Thus says he who is the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land, so that no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of your servants and of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day they came on earth to this day." And then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. So locusts will be plague number 8. Locusts are gigantic grasshoppers. That's how we should probably think about them. And they are eating machines. And when they get into a swarming group, they can strip the vegetation in a very rapid time period. Plagues of locusts have caused mankind a lot of trouble throughout history. And here is God saying through Moses, through Aaron, this one's going to be worse than anything you ever even imagined. You're not even going to be able to see the ground, and all the stuff that was left after the hailstorm, it's going to get chewed up. And so this will break the agriculture for the country of Egypt this spring. So verse 7, Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve he who is their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" So now the people in leadership of Egypt are pushing on Thutmose III, I believe, as Pharaoh, "You've got to just let these people go. We are broken this year. We have no crops left. Other than, we've got still the wheat crop that's coming up that was left by the hail, the emmer crop. But if locusts come in here and eat that stuff, we are toast. You have got to let these people go. Just let the slaves go. It's not worth it. And so Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve he who is your God, but which ones are to go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, and we will go with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to he who is. But he said to them, he who is be with you, if ever I let your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go, the men among you, and serve he who is, for that is what you're asking. And then they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So Pharaoh has figured out in his head, if everybody goes, they will not be back, which is true. That's the plan all along. The 3 days into the wilderness for the sacrifice to Yahweh is just the first on the trip to Mount Sinai. And Pharaoh tries to say, okay, I'm keeping your kids as hostage. I'm going to keep your families to make sure you come back. And Moses' response is, no, when we go, everybody has to go. Verse 12, after the Pharaoh refused and chased Moses and Aaron out harshly, he who is said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and he who is brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. And the locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been before, nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land, all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field, through all the land of Egypt. So God brings an east wind, which means it's coming from the Sinai on the east side of Egypt. And it blows in, it gathers up and blows in every locust that apparently was in that region over there, and lands them all up and down the ribbon of the Nile and all through the Delta. And these things just start munching. And of course, Goshen is exempted. Nothing in Goshen gets touched by these guys. And this plague is worse than anything the Egyptians have ever experienced or even heard of happening before. And it's very quick that Pharaoh responds. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron, said, I've sinned against he who is your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin only this once. Plead with he who is your God to remove this death from me. So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with he who is. And he who is turned the wind into a very strong west wind. That is a wind coming from the west, coming out of the Sahara, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. That would be the Suez arm of the Red Sea. And not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. So it seems almost as if we've got part of one day that the locust plague is going on. Pharaoh is upset that it's happening. He begs that it be stopped. God turns around and blows the locusts out just as quickly as he blew them in, and the plague is over. But, verse 20 reports, he who is hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. So, once again, God continues to work with Pharaoh to make sure that he can demonstrate the absolute power that God has over the gods and goddesses of Egypt. That the gods and goddesses of Egypt cannot help the Egyptians. The Egyptians need to understand that. So, he who is said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. Now, this plague is now bringing us within a few days of the Exodus date. And we know that date. They left during the 15th day of the first Jewish month. And they prepared their Passover lambs on the 14th day of this first Jewish month. This plague is going to be 3 days of darkness previous to the Passover lamb. So that would be, going backwards, the 13th, the 12th, and the 11th. So this information is coming to Moses on the 10th day of the month. Now, why is that important? Because the Israeli people are going to be told that from here on out in their history, the 10th day of the first Jewish month is the day you take the Passover lambs and set them aside in your house, so that on the 14th, you will be ready to butcher them as the Passover meal. So we have now reached the beginning of the Passover observances, because that always starts with the selection and pinning up of the Passover lamb. Now, it doesn't talk about that here in the plague of darkness, but the timing will be mentioned later when Moses gives the instructions for how to prepare for the Passover. So we can assume that by the time Moses does what he does next, here in verse 21, the Passover lambs have already been selected by the Israelites, and they are pinned up in the houses so that they will spend these days of darkness with the Israelites, who will have light in their houses. So, Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. Then he who is said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. So this darkness is a very strange and unusual darkness. It's not a dust cloud coming in on them. It is not the sun being eclipsed, because that's just a little short period of time. This is some sort of supernatural darkness that affects the land of the Egyptians. Goshen apparently is exempt from it, and the houses where the Egyptians or where the Israelis are hanging out, they have no problem because they have light in their houses. Now, is that light the glory of God already taking place? Or is it just the fact that God is not affecting the lanterns or the lamps of the Israelis like he appears to be affecting the lamps of the Egyptians? Because you'll notice here, it says that the Egyptians can't even see each other for the next 3 days. Meaning that even if they light a lamp, it doesn't do them in good. They can't see each other. It is a darkness that can be felt. It's right up on you. This darkness is probably what will happen with the breaking of the sixth seal, which kicks off the final 3.5 years recorded in the book of Revelation, also in the book of Daniel. A darkness where it says that the sun will go dark as sackcloth. And so I wonder whether or not we're going to have a similar sort of effect as to what happened here in Egypt. Verse 24. Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go, serve he who is. Your little ones also may go with you, only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." So he's trying to bargain again. He wants this darkness to go away. He tells Moses, okay, your whole families can go, just leave your animals here. But Moses replied with something he's already said, "You must let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to he who is our God." The whole reason they're going 3 days into the wilderness is to offer sacrifices. If Pharaoh doesn't let them have their animals, how can they do sacrifice? Verse 26, "Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take of them to serve he who is our God, and we don't know with what we must serve he who is until we arrive there." So the excuse he gives, the explanation he gives is, we don't know which of the animals we're going to need to sacrifice until we arrive 3 days' travel. So we have to take everything. We have to be prepared for anything. But he who is hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die." And Moses said, "As you say, I will not see your face again." So Moses lets Pharaoh know what the last plague is going to be before he leaves the palace this time. That comes up later. I just want you to be prepared for it. Once he leaves, after the darkness has lifted, which the darkness lifted on the 13th, because they're going to sacrifice their animals on the 14th. So he's getting the information in chapter number 11 that he passes on to Pharaoh before leaving his presence at the end of chapter number 10 that we were just talking about. "So he who is said to Moses, 'Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask every man of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, for silver and gold jewelry. And he who is gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." Now this spoiling of the Egyptians, this is actually them getting paid their back wages. They have been slaves in Egypt for quite some time now. They've been bred as a slave race. They have been worked day in and day out, long days, no holidays, no weekends, no vacations, and they're not getting paid. And so here, right before they leave, they get all the back pay that they should have had as hired servants. So he who is gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So Moses said, "Thus says he who is, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne," which is interesting because we know that Thutmose III was followed by a son, not his firstborn. His firstborn is mentioned in documents during Thutmose III's reign, but then suddenly this firstborn son disappears from the scene. He's not talked about again, and a secondary son takes the throne. And we know some of this because that son sets up a plaque notice board between the feet of the Sphinx, I believe, because he frees the Sphinx from sand and says that the Sphinx made him king, even though he was not the firstborn. And so there is testimony that seems to match this idea that Thutmose III is the pharaoh who lost his firstborn son during this plague. Even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle, there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as has never been, nor ever will be again. Not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel. That's an idiom that we do not quite understand how it got started. It's the idea that nothing bad is going to be happening to the Israelis. Either man or beast, that you may know that he who is makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. So he warns Pharaoh at this closing of the ninth plague that when I leave today, the next plague that's going to happen is going to be the death of the firstborn. And the Israelis are going to be spared because God is going to pass over them. And then Moses is out of there. Verse 9, then he who has said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. God already knew it would come to this point. He told Moses back in Midian that the last plague, the plague which would cause Pharaoh to let the Israelis go, would be the death of their firstborn. He phrased it in this way. If you, Pharaoh, will not let my firstborn Israel go, I will take your firstborn away from you. Verse 10, Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and he who is hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12, God now gives a brand new calendar system to the Israelis and ties it to their exodus. The original calendar system started in the fall with the planting of the crops. Actually, it starts with the celebration of the previous year's harvest and then is followed immediately by the planting of all the grain crops and then right around the agricultural cycle. That calendar system that starts in the fall will be used by the Israelis for their agricultural cycle. It starts in the seventh month when counted from the spring. This calendar system that starts in the spring is brand new, and it will supersede in most societies the old calendar system that started in the fall. For some reason, this idea of starting in the spring with new growth caught on very well. And so we see this at the very beginning of chapter number 12, where we'll wrap up today. He who is said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. So the month that will begin with the first sliver of the new moon after or at the time of the spring equinox is going to be the start of the Jewish typical year. And so that's why the month of Abib, the month of the barley harvest, will become the first Jewish month. Well, you guys have a great weekend, and we will get back together again on Monday, Lord willing.